Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. A few weeks ago, I was sitting down and looking at the bills to pay, and after gotten paid and what you had to pay out, and this title came to me: is not life more than this? Have you reached that point yet? Have you reached the point where you can sit down at the table and you pay the bills, you live the life again, and then get up tomorrow and you do the same thing? And in verse 25, and I'm going to start at verse 19, but in verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on." And you and I need to really, really digest this. Is not the life more than this? Did God create me to just be a consumer? Am I just a consumer? That's the way the world looks at me, isn't it? A consumer. We are called consumers. What do the consumers want? You know, the advertisers, when they make up their advertisement, they make it for the consumers. We are not just consumers. We are made for God's glory. We are made to worship God, to know God, to have fellowship with God. And like Enoch, in this life, it's taken me a while to learn this, but in this life, to walk with God, that's what life is. Life is eternal. Life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And every day, it's not about me going to work or what I'm going to buy or what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to put on. It's another opportunity. Today is another opportunity to know God. It really is. It's another opportunity to know God. It's another opportunity. Right here this morning, we have another opportunity as God's family, as God's children, to worship and hear from our Father. Well, I wish we could get a hold of that. I would to God I could get a hold of it. Look in verse 19. And what our Lord is teaching us here, what He's teaching us here is so contrary to what the world teaches, isn't it? It is absolutely 180 degrees from what the world teaches. It says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Don't lay out your lives to laying up for yourselves, for this earthly life. The world teaches the opposite. Make all you can and save it and lay it up and prepare for retirement. I see so many commercials now on television telling us and teaching us how to prepare for retirement. I want to know how to prepare to meet God. I'm about to meet God. I turned 60 years old. I'm not a young man no more. And I think about this. What it is and what it's going to be like to meet Almighty God. Which is more important, your retirement or meeting God? Which is the most important? Now, I know there's always going to be someone who says, but if you... Well, you can just deal with that yourself later. That's not what I'm dealing with right now. I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with what our Lord is teaching us here, to give our lives to knowing Christ. to give our lives to learning of Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that lesson never ends. You cannot exhaust the knowledge of God. You cannot exhaust the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Can you? He's God. Lay not up for yourself, and listen, treasures. Treasures. What's your treasure? What's your pearl of great price? Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. These things in this world are the enemies of our souls. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Listen to the word of God now. In Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness. I don't think anybody here would, or and I don't know if anybody I've ever talked to would say, I'm a covetous person, I can't help it. I tell you, it's so sneaky. It'll creep up on you and you won't even realize it. It's got you. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I don't want to be identified by the things that I possess. I want to be identified by the one that possesses me. There's a real difference. There's a real difference. I know a man, and I've talked to him often over the years, and he judges the success of people. He'll say, that man, he's one of the most successful men I know. And the man he's talking about doesn't know the Lord. Doesn't believe the gospel. If you end up dying without Christ, your whole life's a failure. The man, listen, who was successful? The rich man or Lazarus laying at the rich man's gate? Which one was successful in the end? Not along the way, but even along the way. If you know Christ, you're successful, I'm telling you. God's made you a success. A man's success is where he ends up. It's not what he has when he dies. It's not what he accumulates in this life. It's his relationship, his or her relationship to Jesus Christ. Our Lord is telling us, get it right. Get your focus right. Your aim right. We'll see this here in a minute. Get your aim right. And we need to come back. Probably two of the places in the Word of God that I read the most is the Psalms and the Sermon on the Mount. As I've gotten older, those are the two places that I read the most in the Word of God. In Luke 8 it says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Wisdom is speaking to us here. When we open the Word of God and we read it, God is speaking. I want to hear what He's saying this morning. God is speaking through His Word and what instructions He's given to His people here. But lay up for yourself treasures. Treasures in heaven, where God is, where Christ is, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. They can't take your treasures there. Those treasures are eternal. What we have in Christ, the spiritual blessings are the treasures. What we have in Christ, it's eternal. What we have here, it's going to be dissolved. How many times Have you watched television and some poor widow has been cheated out of her money by some hookster? He took all my savings. That's all I had. I had $100,000. It's all gone. No one can rob me of the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the sanctification I have in Christ, the justification I have in Christ. I can't lose it. It cannot be robbed and taken from me. And moth and rust will not corrupt His righteousness. And that's the treasure we seek after. That's the treasure we seek after. That's what we lay out our life, is to knowing Him, seeking Him, and enjoying living in the reality of these spiritual blessings. Mike Bartram sings a song I love. Give me Christ or else I die. Christ is what I need. He's who I need. He's all I need. If I have to live in a shack, that's all right. That's all right. That's evidently, if I have to, that's where I need to be living. Right? God gives His children what they need. Listen to this. In Colossians 3, 1 through 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your heart on those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind, your heart on things above, not on things of the earth. It's only wise to seek things that will not perish, right? It's only wise to really put forth your effort into things that will not perish. Things such as wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption and justification and peace with God. It's only wise to seek those things in Christ. And here's the reason. Where your treasure is, your heart is. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What has your heart? What motivates you in the morning when you get up? Huh? What motivates you throughout the day? What's on your mind? What is on your mind the most? Who do you think about the most? Here's the motive for keeping our desires above the things of this world. Where your treasure is, your heart is. That's what has your heart. Son, give me thine heart. Salvation is a heart work. God is worshipped with the heart. And if something else has your heart, forget about worship. It ain't happening. You might be showing up, but you're not worshiping God. That's a heart matter. Our hearts will go in the direction of that which we count most precious. It will. It will. We will conduct our lives around that which we esteem as our treasure. That's how we'll conduct our lives. If our treasures are of this earth, then we'll spend our life chasing those things. But if Christ is our treasure, and then our hearts will be set on Him and our affection will go after Him. Even when I'm on the job, when I'm doing my job, there's a real difference in doing your job because you get paid to do it or doing your job because the Lord's given that to you to do. And you want to do it in a way that's honoring to Him. There's a difference. Now, it gives us an illustration here. The light of the body is the eye. Now, if your eye is single, if you have the right motive, okay, and the right purpose and the right love, your whole body, he's saying here, if your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. You have good eyesight. You can walk, You could walk down this aisle and you won't be bumping into the seats. You can walk down the road and you're not going to stumble. You're not going to step in a mud hole. If your eyes see, if you have good eyes, you have good light. You have good light. Your walk will be straight. You'll have a straight walk. You'll walk after Christ. If your eye is single, I tell you this, if your eye is single, your eye will be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mark. He's the finish line. He's the goal. The goal of my life is to end in Christ. That's the goal of my life. The goal of my life is not to look back and say, I have been successful at this or this and I have accomplished this. I don't care about this no more. And if you do, I pray God take it from you. Because it's better you lose it than lose your soul. It's better. As hard as it is, it's better. Hell's even harder. Missing Christ is even harder. But, he says here, if thine eye be evil. If your motive and purpose is evil. If your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee. And I was talking to a man not long ago. We talked about the gospel. He and I does not believe the same gospel. We do not, and I told him this, we don't believe the same God. We do not worship the same Jesus Christ. We don't do it. He worships a Christ that wants to save but can't. He worships a Christ that died for people that's still in hell and will be there forever. That's not Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's not the Paul said they will come preaching another Jesus. I'm not standing here preaching another Jesus. But if my understanding of the gospel is wrong, if my understanding of who God is wrong, how great is that darkness? How great was the darkness of the Pharisees? How great was the darkness of those who claimed to know God, who claimed to be the children of God and looked at Christ and said, we will not have this man reign over us. How great is that darkness? How great is the darkness that a man will turn on Christ to another gospel? That's great dark. That's evil. He calls it evil. Satanic. Satanic. How great is that darkness? If my eye is bad, then I won't be able to see where I'm walking, will I? I'll stumble and be confused. And I know another man. You know, when you live long enough, you start knowing some things. You start knowing people. I know another man. He has been bounced from one denomination to another. He's trying different ones. This one. His eyes, the light that's in him is darkness. It's darkness. If my eye is evil, I can't see where I'm going. If it's darkness, a blind man can't see where he's going. He cannot do it. He cannot do it. If the light or my understanding in me is darkness, then when life is over, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. There's a verse in Job that just rings in my ears. They were confounded because they had hoped. They were confounded. I thought I was saved. I preached, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many mighty works in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they are confounded because they had hoped to be saved. They had hoped to go to heaven, what they hoped not to be saved. They hope their idea of salvation is going to heaven. It's an eternal vacation, basically. Salvation is not missing hell and going to heaven. Salvation is being made one with God in Christ. And the only way that's done is my sins are gone, been dealt with and put away. Salvation is a relationship. It's a relationship with God. With God. No man can serve two masters. And I know that everyone, sooner or later, at one time or another, will try it. You'll try it. We'll try it. Sooner or later, we'll try it. No man can serve two masters. And this is so subtle. I've made excuses. I've heard excuses made. You can't serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world. It doesn't happen. It's like trying to mix fire and gas. You're going to have an explosion. And what the Lord is forbidding here is division of aim. You can't, an old Chinese proverb, you can't chase two rabbits at the same time and catch either one. You can't do it. You can't aim at two different targets and shoot and get them both. You cannot give your whole heart to God and the world. It doesn't work. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. If you're a friend of God, you're an enemy of the world. That's the way it is. A believer cannot serve this world and serve God. Scripture says, be not ye the servants of men. You were the servants of sin, but now you're the servants of God, the servants of righteousness. He's forbidding division of aim. Boy, I need this. That's why I said I read the Sermon on the Mount now, probably, I read it in Psalms. I read it more than I do the Psalms. I read it more than I do. This is God. God Almighty came into this world in the flesh. And the longest recorded sermon has to do with the character and conduct of His children. And how we go through this world. What our aim and our goals are. This is our Lord speaking to us. Therefore I say unto you, take no anxious or no thought or anxious worrisome thought for your life. Takes a while to learn that, doesn't it? It does. It takes a while. I learned the gospel. I heard the gospel back in around 1979 from my pastor, Henry. I heard the gospel. Learned the gospel. I was telling Tammy last night, I said, now I'm living it. I said, I'm living it. I heard and I learned and I believe that God is sovereign. But I've learned that God is sovereign. I've learned that God gives and God takes. And I've learned this. God gives and God takes, and He gives no account of any of His matters. He doesn't tell me why He's doing it. You know, in Job, I think it's Job 38. I think it's Job 38. When God speaks, He does not explain to Job why He did what He did to him. He does not apologize. He does not say, Job, I'm sorry, I had to make a point here, or I had to prove something. He said, Job, gird up your loins like a man, and I will demand of you. And then he revealed His greatness. I heard and learned the gospel when I was a young man. Now that I'm older, I'm living what I've learned. I'm living it. I understand the sovereignty. I don't understand a lot of what God does. And I don't, you know what I know now? I don't need to. I just need to understand who He is. If I understand who God is, then what He does is all right. Because what He does is right. God can do no wrong. God can do no wrong. Why did God do this? Why did He take this? You know, it takes a while, but after a while, you just say, you don't need to know why. It needed to happen. It needed to happen. And that's when you be still and know that I am God. Be still. When He's given or when He's taken, be still. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, worrisome thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life. Oh, let that ring in our ears. Put that on your refrigerator. Is not life more than this? Is not life more than getting up in the morning, going to work, punching the clock, eating lunch, punching out, coming home, doing the same thing Monday, Tuesday. Life is to know God. And if we miss that, we miss life. We missed it. Lord, teach me this. Give me this. Therefore, if we are to serve Christ, if we are to serve Christ, in His glory, then we have to cease from serving self and our glory, our wants, our ambitions. We have to cease. Paul said something in the book of Acts. It jumped out at me here a few weeks ago. It's the pinnacle of discipleship. I titled it the pinnacle of discipleship. Here's the pinnacle of discipleship. Now get this. Paul said this. I count not my life dear to me. I count not my life on this earth, he's talking about, dear to me. The only way to finish the course, as Paul finished the course, is not to count this life dear to us. You can't fight a war. You can't go into battle counting your life so dear to you that you can't lose it. You can't give it up. Can't do it. He's telling us, don't take anxious thought and worry over these earthly things. We should give more care to hearing the gospel. He said, take heed to how you hear, what we hear and believe. Now listen, I want you to get this. What we hear and believe is far more important than what we eat and wear. The dress of my soul and the feeding of my soul is far better than this body. My soul is not growing old. This body is. His body is. I am worldly. I'm forever young. I am. In Christ, I'm forever young. But I'm going to lay this old wrinkled body down someday. I can put all the anti-aging cream on that I want, but it ain't working. And it ain't working from here either. It ain't working. But my soul is eternal. My spirit is young. And when we lay this body down in the grave, it's going to be like a young man and woman all over again. Except it's going to be far beyond our imagination. Far beyond what we could ever imagine. The best day in your youth, when you felt so energetic is nothing compared to the day you stand before God in a new body. And that's real. This is not a fairy tale. It's real. I'm going to have to get this up. He says here, let me just hurry up. Behold the fowls of the air. Now, don't just look at a bird as it flies by. There's a lesson in it. There's a lesson in everything that passes in front of you. The problem is there's so much sin in me. Like when I was in school, my interests were in so many other things that I didn't pay half attention to what was being said. So when the bird flies in front of you today, don't just let the bird fly in front of you. Learn from it. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They don't build barns. Like that rich man said, my soul, thou hast much riches. What am I going to do? I'm just going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Wouldn't it have been wonderful? He said, I'm just going to support the gospel and spread it all over the world. He says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I want you to turn over to Psalm 104. I'm going to read this quickly as I can. Because we don't need to be in too much of a hurry. Psalm 104. Look in verse 10. Look in verse 10, Psalm 104. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. He's taking care of all. Notice the care he's taking here. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. God made that for her. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats. You ever look at those goats on those high hills on TV and say, great day. It makes my legs hurt. Looking at something high makes my legs hurt. And you see those goats up there on that, just around the ledge, and they jump. And they have their little babies right behind them, and they do the same thing. And I think, who among us would do that? It says, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows her going down, and she knows what she's doing. Thou makest darkness, and it's night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Listen. Here's what I want to get to. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. There's a mystery in that, isn't there? There's a mystery in that. That young, strong lion seeks his meat from God. They shouldn't be smarter than us. Those little birds, they didn't wake up this morning fretting. They didn't wake up fretting. They just go pick up what God's put out there for them. And are content with it. I tell you what, not one bird out there, the little sparrow does not envy the eagle. Think of that one. That little sparrow does not envy the eagle. And the eagle doesn't think less of that little sparrow. I wish we could trust God like that. I wish we could. God who made us, God who's given us His Son, shall He not keep us? Shall He not take care of us? Are you not much better than they? Christ died for me. Are you not much better than they? And he says here, and this is so sweet, This is so sweet. Your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. Now, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? He says, don't take thought, don't worry, and here's the reason why. What good does it do? Have you worried about being short? Can you make yourself taller? Can you add one cubit, one measure to your stature or to yourself? I mean, can you do that? Can you do it? Can you, by anxious thought and worry, change any of your circumstances? Can you? Can you make anything change and turn just by worrying about it? You can by praying about it. God can turn it. If He will, He will. Put it that way. If He will, He will. If you can change God, then you could change everything else. But you can't do that. And why take thought for clothing, raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Oh, if you tulips. Vicky's bought some tulips for our granddaughter. They're beautiful. I mean, these flowers are so beautiful. He says, Solomon, all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But I, when I read that, I thought, you have to have different eyes to see this. Because the world can't take its eyes off of Solomon and his riches. The world can't get over the riches. They walk past the tulips. They walk past the lilies. But he says to those who believe him, stop. Actually, stop to smell the roses. Stop and look at that lily, how God has taken care of it. Where no gardener is. No one out there fertilizing. No one out there digging and round it. And here it grows toward heaven and spreads out. And it's so beautiful. So beautiful. Now, if God can do that for a lily, what can He do for me and you? If God has clothed the lily like that, think about what He's clothed us with in the righteousness of Christ. Don't think about this dress. Think about the dress you have in Christ. Get your mind off these threads. These threads cost me. His righteousness didn't cost me anything. That dress is free. It's free. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. There's a problem. Little faith saved, but it's not commendable. It's saved, but it's not something you want to write home about. Write home, I have little faith. No, that's something being little faith saved, but it's just not commendable. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, verse 32. For your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He knows you need all these things. He made you, didn't He? What kind of father would I be? What kind of father would you fathers be if you didn't take care of your children? Well, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to take care of us? He's a whole lot better father than we'll ever be. But here's the lesson. Here it is. And do this, listen. Do this every day. Every day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. That's a promise. You're sitting there worrying, He just gave you the key. We worry about food and raiment, where we're going to live. He just gave you the key. First things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now you can't do that without first seeking the king. Because there is no kingdom without a king. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Texas, I tell you, it's taken me, it takes time to learn this. And I'll have to learn it again tomorrow. That's so sad. I am sad. I'm sad a lot. Aren't you glad salvation's all of grace? Ain't none of us would make it. None of us. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. Let that become the goal of your life. Let that become your... Here's our ambition. I give you our ambition. To be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness. That's the only ambition I need to have. Really. That's all I need to have. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take thought for itself. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I got all the trouble today I need. I don't need to bring in tomorrow's trouble. You know how many people won't wake up tomorrow on this earth? I forget how many millions die a day in this world. There'll be several million people that will not wake up here tomorrow. But they will meet God. They will meet God. All right. All right.